Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
On a give for the all-time leading rusher for the Niners. Stephon Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco!
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right to Adrian, handoff Adrian, scoots loose up the middle, across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10, touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson, gets a shoulder square! Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed! Touchdown!
Welcome into Grinding the Edge, episode number 53 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you have not gone to check it out, you need to go check out the South Harmon Draft Guide. The South Harmon Draft Guide will be one of my topics for this episode, where what we have is the entire South Harmon team has come together to create the ultimate pre-draft guide for rookies. We've analyzed over 50 incoming draft profiles, so that way you know who you need on your fantasy teams. The reason this is so important is because of the topic of today's episode, which is drafting during pre-draft rookie drafts. I'm going to be talking through my process, how I have made some choices now that I have at least two drafts underneath my belt, and explain why I have chosen the players that I have, and the South Harmon Rookie Draft Guide is part of that. So go to draftguide25.com in order to get your copy. As of recording, I'm completely done with one, and another one is a little bit more than halfway done. We're in halfway through the third round of a 5-round rookie draft. I fully expect by the time this episode comes out that that draft will be completed. However, my goal is to talk through my process that I'm going through with these rookie drafts and how I'm approaching it kind of from an individual league mindset, but also keeping a broader portfolio in mind. So first, let me talk through my philosophy. My philosophy here is that I am not somebody that I feel like I am the best rookie talent evaluator. In fact, I'm probably not even above average. I'm probably just your average NFL fan in terms of being able to actually evaluate rookies. But I'm going to understand that and listen to people that are smarter than me and people that, you know, watch college players a lot more, that have been doing the talent evaluation process for a long time, that have actually gone through and made models and tested those models and things like that. So that's primarily what I'm going to be relying on for a lot of my ranks. But notably, I don't like to just pick one that I don't know and just stick with it. I find that a lot of people, what they do is they have their ranks, and then they look at other people's ranks, and you kind of come up with this chalk consensus of, yeah, these are all the players that should be drafted at these spots. And personally, to me, that is not how I like to build. I don't like to listen to what the general consensus is. I like to try to find values, and the way I have in the past found values is noticing which players are out of place from one analyst to another. There's some analysts that they will put out the rankings and a player will be significantly higher or significantly lower. And so what I will do, if I trust that analyst, I will mentally push that player either up the ranks or down the ranks. So when I go into a rookie draft, what I'm often doing is looking at each draft spot and going, is there anybody here that is wildly out of place based on one of the rankers that I follow? For this season, I've been looking at four different rankings in order to help me out. The first one is the aforementioned South Harmon Rookie Guide, which you can get at draftguide25.com. I'm also using JJ Zacharyson's Late Round Prospect Guide. I've been using that for quite a few years now, and I've really enjoyed it. I'm also using the Campus to Canton Rookie Guide, which I really like because they give their multiple years of analysis into their guide. So you can kind of see what they thought of this player a couple years ago, which sometimes helps you give a little bit of context when you're trying to figure out, hey, is this somebody that their entire college career they've performed at this level, or is it somebody who has spiked up in their last year? Depending on the profile of the player, where you're at in your draft, maybe you do or don't want to bet on that increase being something they can transfer over into the NFL. And the last one that I use occasionally is Dane Brugler's The Beast. The reason I use that one is to give myself a little bit of NFL context. Sometimes when you get to later rounds in the draft, it's hard to decide between two players, just trying to figure out, are they even going to latch onto a team well? Do I think that they have the possibility to spike up in value at some point because they win the job unexpectedly over somebody else? And so that's what I look at looking at his guide for. I'm not using that one for the higher end of players like I am with the South Harmon Draft Guide, the Late Round Prospect Guide, and the Campus to Canton Rookie Guide, but I am using it to help me out with a lot of the later round picks. So ultimately, what my strategy comes down to is trying to identify the players that are out of position based on one of these guides, and then drafting those players that are not the chalk picks. Because I know once we have the NFL draft and I'm doing all of my normal post-NFL drafts, you want to go pretty close to chalk because that's just how all the guides end up. You usually don't see differences more than a couple picks once you get to post-draft. But pre-draft, you can see some wild swings, especially as you get into the second and third rounds. You see players that maybe one analyst has them ranked as a late second round grade, and the next one has them ranked as a late fourth round grade. And so what I like to do is figure out, okay, well, the average for that player, let's say it's an early third. I'm not going to go wildly out of my way for the analyst that has them as a second round grade. But for somebody that is normally mocked in the late third, one analyst has them in their ranks as, hey, he should be a late second. If I'm in the mid third, that's somebody that I'm willing to take a chance on because that other analyst sees something in him that the others are not. That would be a huge value spike. What I'm aiming for out of these pre-rookie drafts is either something really safe or a huge spike. And so as I talk through these two drafts and how they've gone for me so far, those are the kinds of things that I'm going to be paying attention for. So the first league that I want to talk about is my league called I Don't Want Melon Butt. If you want to go check out the warp for this league, you can go check that out on the South Harmon Warp tool at warp.life. But I'll give you a quick overview here. In general, the quarterbacks and running backs are the most powerful positions by warp. And those two lines are basically in lockstep for the top 12. The wide receiver lines are a little bit below, but they aren't that much below. Your top 12 running backs, that 12th running back lines up to wide receiver 8 or 9. So it's not like you need to go full into running back and completely sacrifice the wide receivers. But since quarterbacks are up there as one of the most valuable positions, they're definitely one that I am focusing on a lot. And tight end, it's there, especially at the high end, but it's also a best ball league. And in best ball leagues, I find it much easier to make up that tight end just by throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall. So with that, let me get into the draft. So I only had three picks in this draft, the first one of them being at the 109. At the 109, your normal suspects had already gone off the board, so I'm just not going to bother reading those guys. But also off the board were Travion Henderson, Tyler Warren, Quinshon Judkins. The top guys on the board at this time were Shador Sanders, Caleb Johnson, Emeka Egbuka, and Luther Burden. There's also Colson Loveland if you are interested in the top tight end as well. So when I was looking at the board, there's not a single thought in my mind going to what does my team have and what do I need. What I'm looking for is players that are either going to hold their value or increase in value. And a lot of the times, that is the quarterbacks. At the 109, Shador Sanders fits in really, really well. He's a quarterback who's likely going to go in the early part of the first round. And we like to take chances on those kinds of guys, mostly because they hold their value at least into the second year. Very rarely do we have a quarterback who goes from the first year to the second year and they become absolutely nothing. Instead, they often maintain their value or they potentially increase in value. If they show something good on the field, I can potentially flip them around and get more value coming next year. Also, if, say, Shador Sanders doesn't go to a spot that we dislike, and instead he ends up somewhere else that we think, oh wow, that's a really good situation, his value might even just increase from where he's drafted. Right now, we're kind of assuming he ends up going to a really bad landing spot. And so I consider this to be close to a worst case scenario in terms of his value compared to the rest of the players. And then looking at this league, where quarterback 18, which I figure is probably a reasonable expectation that he's better than quarterback 18. It's the equivalent of basically running back and wide receiver 24. When I'm looking at Emeka Egbuka, Luther Burden, and Caleb Johnson, Caleb Johnson is the one player that I'm like, I can probably see him going, like, I think he has a greater than 50% chance to be higher than running back 24. But Egbuka and Burden, I'm not confident that they will be higher than a wide receiver 24. They've got a chance for sure, but it's going to be hard for them to do that. Wide receivers don't tend to just come in and produce at that level unless they truly are really good. So when I'm looking at all of those factors, Shador Sanders just makes the most sense for this pick. And so I went ahead and took Shador Sanders. My next pick comes up at the 303. And the 303, this is a spot where I start to lean on one of those guides. And in this case, it happened to be the late round prospect guide. At this point in the draft, the top players are Isaiah Bond, Jalen Noel, Quinn Ewers, Xavier Restrepo, DJ Giddens, Ollie Gordon. Now, this league, it is a somewhat of a quarterback heavy league, but it's also a best ball league. I'm not terribly interested in getting a backup quarterback, which is what Quinn Ewers would be. So he just is right off my board. I'm looking at the running backs as well, and I see DJ Giddens and Ollie Gordon. They're good running backs, and I'm definitely interested. But when I go look at the South Harmon draft guide and the late round prospect guide, I see something different. The late round prospect guide, Isaiah Bond is the only player left who is in the weekly starter tier. So already he's on my radar as, hey, I might want this guy. And so then I go over, I look at the South Harmon draft guide. And the South Harmon draft guide has Isaiah Bond at the 308. On the surface, it seems like, hey, why would I want to take Isaiah Bond here? It's the 303, not the 308. But underneath, I see that Mike has him as overall ranked 21, and Barry has him at overall ranked 25. So I'm taking him a little bit behind of where Barry has him ranked. I'm taking him well behind where Mike has him ranked. And the same thing goes with JJ Zacharyson's guide. He has Isaiah Bond being picked all the way up at pick 19 overall. So I have multiple different sources telling me that he is either a tier higher, he's a mid second round pick, but chalk seems to be taking him at that third round turn. So I'm going to go ahead and draft Isaiah Bond here at the 303. Then I have one more pick left in this draft, which is all the way down at the 409. This one became very easy for me. I was looking at wide receiver options of Torrey Horton, Savion Williams, running back options of Jaden Blue or Khalil Mullings or LaQuint Allen, and the best tight end on the board by my count would have been Aronde Gadsden. And so, looking at them, the Torrey Horton name stood out to me. And the reason was because Torrey Horton, in the late round prospect guide, is player rank 31. In the South Harmon draft guide, Torrey Horton is supposed to go at the 307 or at player rank 31. And here I am staring at him at the 409. That means that I'm staring at more than a round of value compared to what the consensus between those two guides are. So I'm going to go ahead and take that value, and sure, maybe the ranking is wrong. Maybe this won't turn out as well post-draft. But in terms of pre-draft, I'm going to trust the people that I know who have their own processes for evaluating rookies and are saying these guys are going to be better than where they're hanging out in the sleeper draft right now. So that's how I end up taking Torrey Horton at the 409. So those were my three picks in that draft. I end up going with Shador Sanders, Isaiah Bond, and Torrey Horton. And mostly I'm just letting value that come to me based on evaluators that I trust. I'm not trying to do anything special. And if I am in a situation where, hey, none of those guys really stand out, then I'll just go chalk. Because ultimately, I'm trying to play a value game here. I'm not trying to come up with my own calls as to exactly who I think is going to be the best or the worst, and instead just rely on what other people have that are much better at this than I am say, and then listen to what they say and draft accordingly. So let's get into the second league. In this one, I have a lot more draft picks. I'm in the middle of a rebuild, and so I earned the 104 in this league instead of the 109 in the other league. With this one, I have my 104, and the first three picks off the board were Ashton Jeanty, Cam Ward, and Amarian Hampton. Pretty chalk. And so when we get to the 104, the question is, okay, what do I want to do? In this league is called Shit 4. You can go look up the warp chart on this one as well. And the warp chart for this one has running backs is really heavy. The problem is, with what I see from almost every single draft guide that I have looked at, is that there's a tier of the top two running backs. You've got Ashton Jeanty and Amarian Hampton, and then there's a tier break before the next guys. And the balance that I need to try and figure out is, in this league, even though running backs are worth a lot more, do I just want to go for the potential of getting the higher tier wide receivers? Or do I want to try and take more shots at the running back position? So I was sitting there, ultimately looking in between Travis Hunter and Travion Henderson. The reason I'm looking at Travis Hunter is because I feel like a lot of the analysis on Travis Hunter, why he's not people's number one overall wide receiver, is because of the worry that he might not play wide receiver at the NFL level. Instead, I'm going to look past that and look for talent. I have seen a lot of people say Travis Hunter is the best wide receiver talent-wise in this class. They just don't know if he'll play it full-time at the NFL level. And the phrase that I hear talked about all the time when it comes to wide receivers is target share is earned. Bet on the talent. So that's what I'm going to do. So for me, I'm evaluating Travis Hunter as my wide receiver one. And so now I'm comparing this as Travis Hunter versus Travion Henderson. And in comparing those two, I ended up turning to the late round prospect guide. So the late round prospect guide at this point has three wide receivers in the elite producer tier. And when you look at running backs, both elite producers at the running back tier are gone. And ultimately, I want to shoot for elite production. So rather than going for the weekly starters, I decided I'm going to go for the elite producer here. The reason I was thinking that way is I want to try and get the players still in that weekly starter tier, but I knew I had picks coming up at the 108, the 111, and 112. I figured between those three picks, I can probably get some of the players out of that weekly starter tier and at the running back position. And that allows me here at 104 to get one of those guys at the elite producer. And so this is where marrying the idea between multiple different guides plays out for me. The elite producers at the wide receiver position were Travis Hunter, Tetroya McMillan, and Luther Burden. And based on the South Harmon guide, based on how I have seen a lot of people talk about him, Travis Hunter is the one that is at the top of my board. So I went ahead and took Travis Hunter. Now, the next three picks that happen before my 108 end up being Travion Henderson, Shador Sanders, and Quinshon Judkins. So when I get to the 108, I'm sitting there where I'm looking at those available running backs. And there's still Caleb Johnson, Cam Scadabo, and Bashaul Tutin there. But those are guys just in the weekly starter category. Instead, I go back to the elite producer at the wide receiver and I say, well, why not go for Luther Burden? I know that this draft, it is a South Harmon draft, and everyone's going to view Luther Burden higher than Tet McMillan. The South Harmon community as a whole is very down on Tet McMillan. I don't know that I am as down on him compared to the rest of the community, but I figured if there's a wide receiver that goes to a good landing spot that the community is going to be happy with, I'm going to take a bet on Luther Burden. So I go ahead and get him there. And then the next two picks come, and it becomes Caleb Johnson and Matthew Golden. So once I get to the 111, I'm still not going back to that running back well. There's still two guys there that are in that tier that I'm looking for. There's still Cam Scadabo and Bashaul Tutin. But I have the 111 and 112. And there's one more wide receiver who's in the elite producer on the late round prospect guide. And so I'm going to take the shot. I'm going to take Tet McMillan there at the 111. This may not be the case in your drafts, but in terms of how this one fell to me, this is me just gobbling up the value of, I think that these guys have the potential to do really well. And so if I'm going to be here drafting them, I'm just going to get all of these top tier wide receivers and hopefully one of them turns out the way I want them to. Now, at the 112 was where I had an interesting choice. I was looking at potentially just getting Cam Scadabo or Bashaul Tutin there, but shit four is extremely quarterback heavy. And there's one quarterback who keeps climbing up draft boards and he keeps getting mocked at the end of the first round. And that's Jackson Dart. And I figure with how heavily quarterback is weighted in this league, I should take the chance on him there at the end of the first. I've seen in so many leagues, a quarterback who goes in the first round in the NFL draft gets drafted at the late first, early second of your fantasy drafts, and almost every single time, it is a huge value. So I'm going to go ahead, get Jackson Dart here at the 112. There was a fleeting thought in my mind that I could try and get a tight end of Tyler Warren or Colston Loveland because neither of those guys have gone off the board. But I also looked at the scoring of this league and how warped turns out, and I just decided against it. It just was not strong enough at the tight end position where I felt confident going for either of those guys over getting that other quarterback. So, 201 becomes Tyler Warren, 202 Emeka Egbuka, and 203 is Dylan Sampson, and I'm back up at the 204. Now, I've talked about trying to get running backs in that tier of weekly starters from the late round prospect guide for a bit now, and I finally pull the trigger on one of them. I still have Bashaul Tutin and Cam Scadabo, so I decide to go with the one that I trust more. And in my case, that's Bashaul Tutin. Maybe that's a little bit of Virginia Tech bias coming out of me, because that's where I went for school. But ultimately, I just decided to pull the trigger on him there. When adjusting for the settings of this league with how valuable running backs are, I don't consider that pick to be too outside of chalk. Probably getting Cam Scadabo would have been the move that most people would have made, but I also just wanted to have a Hokie on my team. So that was my ultimate tiebreaker between the two of them. So right after that, that's where Cam Scadabo goes, and then Colson Loveland goes at the 206. Damian Martinez at the 207, Jalen Milroe at the 208, Trey Harris at the 209, and Jaden Higgins at the 210. So at the 211, I'm now staring down, okay, do I want to go back to the wide receiver well, or do I want to keep hammering these running backs? Looking at the wide receivers, I see that there's one guy left hanging around who's a weekly starter, and that's Isaiah Bond. At the running backs, I can see that I have some flex play running backs left, but that's the best that I have. Now, I already know that I've gotten an Isaiah Bond in the I Don't Want Melon Butt League, and knowing that I got him at the 303, I decide to take a chance here and say, you know what? I wonder if I can get him at my next pick at the 304. I don't know whether that's the case or not, but maybe I'll get lucky. And so instead I decide I'm going to go to the running back well. I've also gotten a ton of wide receivers this draft, and so I don't want to just load myself up on the wide receivers in a weaker wide receiver class and instead not get a bunch of running backs in a strong running back class. So I decide to look at the running backs, and I'm looking between a few of them. I'm looking between Devin Neal, I'm looking at DJ Giddens, I'm looking at Ollie Gordon. Dylan Sampson's already off, and then Trevor Etienne's the last one in the tier on the late round prospect guide. Looking at the South Harmon draft guide, I can look at those same players, and I see Devin Neal is the top of the list in the South Harmon draft guide of those guys available. So I decide to go ahead and I get myself Devin Neal. He's also somebody that I had in C2C. So, you know, it gives me a little bit of a flutter in my heart to know that, okay, the league that I have him in, a Campus to Canton league where he's already going onto my team, well, I'm just getting another share of him. So if he does turn out well, I don't just have one league where I'm getting a boost, I'm getting a boost in two leagues. The next couple of picks, they go RJ Harvey, then Elijah Arroyo, Ollie Gordon, and DJ Giddens. So there goes a couple of those running backs that I was talking about. But notably, there doesn't go Isaiah Bond. So I'm here at the 304, and I'm just like, well, might as well get Isaiah Bond at this point, because I guess I'll just have a bunch of them pre-draft because of how he ended up grading out in the late round prospect guide. Is this decision going to turn out well for me? I don't know, but it's looking like I'm going to have a bunch of them. Then the next players off the board are Jordan James, Quinn Ewers, Harold Fannin, and Jalen Noel. And right now, as I'm recording this, I am now back on the clock at the 309. So I'm going to talk through my process for making this pick as well. I've been talking through those running backs who are in that flex tier. And one of the names that is still hanging around is Trevor Etienne. In addition, there's still a wide receiver hanging around from that weekly starter tier on the late round prospect guide, and who, according to the South Harmon draft guide, should have been drafted all the way up at the 302. And that's Alec Iaminor. Once again, I'm going to be looking at the overall tiers of these players. And I see that we've got a wide receiver in the weekly starter tier compared to a running back who's in the flex play tier. And I know in this league, people are drafting running backs a little bit more because they want to have the better running backs. Whereas these wide receivers, they don't want to have them as much. But once we get to the actual season, those values aren't going to change that much. If Ayan Manor is doing decent, then either he's going to be worth probably the value that I need in order to get a running back who maybe isn't a rookie and who's doing well, or he's somebody that I can use on my team if nobody wants him to fill a wide receiver hole, to fill a depth wide receiver that I need to hopefully make up a better wide receiver, because this is a best ball league. So I'm looking at this going, okay, Ayan Manor versus ETN, that is 1 point in the Ayan Manor bucket. The Beast, it has Ayan Manor and ETN both graded as third round prospects. So I'm not looking at Ayan Manor as, okay, he needs to fall out of the top round, but seeing that ETN is actually high up into that third round bucket, even though Ayan Manor versus ETN are the same, in terms of fantasy points, a third round running back is oftentimes going to score more than that third round wide receiver. So that ends up being a point into the ETN bucket. Now, the last thing that I'm looking at is where I'm at in this draft. So as I'm talking to you, I am on the clock at the 309, but I have another pick coming up in two picks at the 311. And knowing that, I only have one person in between me. And ETN, in terms of sleeper rank, is all the way down at the bottom. He's down there at rank 2,314 for some random reason. Like, the guys that are around him, because this draft apparently has veterans in it, which I didn't realize until I literally just scrolled down while I'm live recording for you, has guys like Aju and Jordan Pitaya, who are apparently two international player pathways players that just signed with the Colts and the Chargers. Those are the kinds of guys that he's in the range with. Most people are not scrolling down that far to look at him. Whereas Ayan Manor, he's sitting all the way up there. He's the top player on the board by sleeper rank for literally any position. So I'm going to go ahead and draft Ayan Manor right now, and then I'm going to hopefully have ETN when it comes back to me literally after one pick. All I need is Mr. Shy Guy to choose anybody else, and I know that I'm good. And once again, this is a best ball league. I'm not too concerned about the quarterbacks or the tight ends, because the tight end scoring isn't that high in this league, and the quarterback scoring, I don't want these backup quarterbacks. That's what you're getting when you're drafting these guys in the third round, especially if you're drafting them before the NFL draft. Even a quarterback that goes in the top 50 picks will probably be in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. But when we're talking at it right now, like, these top quarterback guys of Will Howard and Dylan Gabriel and Riley Leonard, we're all expecting them to be backups. Those are not guys that I want to waste my pre-draft picks on in terms of hopefully being able to put players that on my roster that are ripe to have value spikes. So anyways, I hope this helps you if you're going into any pre-NFL draft rookie drafts, of just getting an idea of how I look at the positions and what I am hoping to get coming out of these pre-NFL rookie drafts. I'm not trying to make my team the absolute best it can be out of this. I'm trying to find players who I think are ripe to increase their value, knowing that I have to make these picks. The other option is to always go and try to trade these picks for veteran players and things like that. I just didn't see a good opportunity to do that with any of these. The one I considered doing it with was that 109 and I Don't Want Melon Butt. But in that, with that pick, I knew that I would want an extra quarterback because I am light on quarterback in that league. I only have I only have three quarterbacks, and I kind of count it like two because one of them is Anthony Richardson. And so getting Shedeur Sanders, just so that way I have three quarterbacks that I trust, one of them being Jaden Daniels, who counts as two based on the previous episode of Grinding the Edge, and the other one being Bo Nix, it allows me to shore up that position and feel fine with it, in addition to the value retention policies that I get there. So that's the reason that I ended up deciding to just go ahead and take that pick. But when I'm rebuilding, like I am in Shit 4, I tend to be more inclined to just take a bunch of these rookie picks. I like to just continue to accumulate value, and part of accumulating that value for me is if I end up having a ton of rookie picks, I like to take all the shots. I don't like to just get one or two players because, as I mentioned before, I'm not a good rookie talent evaluator. Instead, I just want to get everybody and end up with as many shots of every single player as I can. And so if I can have every single player in the draft, I know that I'm going to get all the good guys that come out of it. And so when I have a large number of picks, that I'm just going to end up going ahead and trying to take them all. I did receive an offer, I didn't even mention it, for the 304 for Keenan Allen. And I thought about countering to get like Keenan Allen and Jake Bobo. But when I looked back and saw that Isaiah Bond was still on the board, I was like, no, I'd rather take the shot on Isaiah Bond and hope that he turns out to be better than those guys, especially since I don't have the expectation of being a true competitor this year. So I hope this whole thing gives you a good overview into how I'm approaching these drafts and is a good thought exercise, even if you are not involved in any of these drafts. Once again, you can find the South Harmon Draft Guide at draftguide25.com. You can go find the Late Round Prospect Guide over on JJ Zacharyson's website at lateround.com. You can find the Campus to Canton Draft Guide over at campustocanton.com. And you can find the Beasts on The Athletic. As always, feel free to reach out to me on X at Dynasty Koopa or anywhere else, Discord, Blue Sky, whatever, at Koopa Troopa 8. As always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.